Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Keeping It Real. This is your host, Eduardo and Pryor. You know, we are doing some, please excuse the weirdness if the audio is coming in kind of strange, because, well, we're doing something different today. There's a little bit of a sound issue, but hopefully that won't prevent everyone from having a good time on this episode, because you know what? We are preparing everyone, because last night, Infinity War premiered. Yep, that's right. The Marvel Cinematic Universe reached 10 years of a story that it built up from the first time Tony Stark said, "I am Iron Man," to basically, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy when they came out and we found out about, Nebula and Gamora and all of Thanos' plans for the Infinity Stones. But you know what? Let's see. Let's just get the party started right now. First of all, I do want to remind everyone that we are not doing the Infinity War review this week because, yeah, we kind of want everybody to see the film, and we respect it when Thanos says he demands your silence. And, well, to start things off, I am joined by my wonderful wife, Trish. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Cool. I hate technical difficulties, but you know what? I've learned to live with them because I think machines hate me. And, let's see. Who else do we have? Because I do believe, Tyler, aren't you here with us tonight?
Quite possibly I am.
Okay, well, good. You're sure now? You're sure we're not just all mass hallucinating? Okay, I just want to check because,
I can't make any promises.
I recently switched from drinking, like, regular soda to stuff like Pepsi Max and Coke Zero, and I just want to make sure that it's not affecting my judgment because, yeah.
Oh, it definitely is.
Wrong. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know what? I'm used to being insane. So, I'll live with it. But, hey, yeah, yep, basically, yeah. Trish and I saw Infinity War last night. I think, no spoilers, I'm just going to say OMG. I mean, would you say that's accurate, Trish? If you're trying not to be spoilery? Yep.
Yep.
I mean, I will drop a spoiler. You know, the only spoiler I'll drop is Batman is still a dick.
I knew it.
See? Yeah, there you go. See, everybody knows it. Batman's a dick, so, it's been like that. Hey, I still remember the first time that I realized it, and that was with Grant Morrison and his JLA run in the 90s, but you know what? It's been with me ever since. But no, seriously, folks, seriously, no spoilers for Infinity War. I won't even tell you that Rosebud is a sled. Oh, shit, I did. Okay, sorry, guys. Okay, my bad. I apologize. That's fine. I'm sorry. Yeah, seriously.
Eddie, you need to get a new joke.
I'll work on it. Okay, I'll work on it. But it's such a classic. And then if I go too recent, then, it might be that somebody didn't see the film and goes, "Hey, I haven't seen that yet." You know, if you try to do older films and you do like a joke, like if you reference older films in a spoiler joke, then at least it's old enough that if somebody hasn't seen it yet, they're not going to have, like, the rights to hunt you down and kill you. I mean, that's just a thing.
Okay, maybe.
Okay,
well,
okay, she gave me a maybe.
One that's a little bit more recent. Maybe one that's
a little bit more recent. You know what? We'll talk later. We'll try and find the we'll try and find, like, where the cutoff point is to see, like, how recent can I go without getting too recent. Yeah.
I think they at least go a year. 1 year.
You think,
at the latest. To keep it relevant.
You think 1 year.
And without going too recent.
Okay. Alrighty then. You know what? Yeah, that, you know what? That actually sounds like it might work. Anywho, the reason we are here, we're not going to spoil Infinity War, but I thought this would be a great episode that, you know what, we're just going to sit down and we're going to go over kind of the steps that took us here. You know, what brought us to this point that we'll be discussing later on, you know, in another episode. You know, I have to admit that in the lead up, you know, in all the advertisements and all the teasers and all the appearances on TV talk shows and whatnot, I had forgotten that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been around for 10 years. I mean, it's kind of hard to, I still feel like it's only been a couple of years. Like I can't believe it's already been a decade. I mean, what do you guys think, Tyler?
It really doesn't seem like it's been that long. You know, I remember seeing some of the first ones off the top of my head. I can't tell you exactly which was the first. But at the same time, I've pretty much seen all of them, and it doesn't feel like it's been 10 years.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. I mean,
I can remember seeing Iron Man, you know, going to see the first Iron Man, and, yeah. Going, oh, cool, Robert Downey Jr.'s back.
Oh, yeah.
Because the first
time
I heard he got cast as Iron Man, you know, I didn't realize that he had, you know, basically cleaned himself up and everything, you know. And so I was just like, my first thought was, would he be sober enough to do this major role?
That's one of the things. I mean, I was familiar with the character. You know, it's familiar with the comic book character. And when I heard Robert Downey Jr. got cast, I had remembered all his problems, you know, the stuff that got him fired from Ally McBeal and even beforehand. And I was like, you know what? This could actually be interesting. This could actually work, because it's almost for the longest time, Tony Stark had very similar issues. One of the most classic stories in Iron Man is Demon in a Bottle, which was Stark coming to terms with the fact that he's an alcoholic. So it's one of these things where it's like Robert Downey Jr. is not the first person in people's minds, you know, back when Iron Man was getting made. But then you look at it and it's like, actually, no, this was fucking perfect. I mean,
yeah,
does anybody remember?
Was.
Yeah, does anyone remember, like, Who was in people's minds to be Iron Man, like, before this?
No.
Trish, do you remember, or had you ever heard?
I don't know.
Okay, well, for the longest time, and I had been seeing this since, like, the 90s, the idea in people's heads to be the perfect actor to play Iron Man, and I think his name was even circled around, like, before the MCU became a thing, was Tom Cruise.
Ugh.
We could have had Tom Cruise as Iron Man.
Yuck.
Yeah, that I don't feel like that would have been a really good fit for it. I mean, he does play a good action hero, don't get me wrong. But to play that role of Iron Man, the stuck up, to quote him, what, billionaire playboy philanthropist, or genius playboy philanthropist, it doesn't fit.
I agree. Does not fit with Tom Cruise.
Well, I think the other thing is that Tony Stark, I mean, for all, you know, you have the stuck-up philanthropist, you have the hero, but then also there's the damaged stuff. Like, I don't think Tom Cruise could have been able to pull that off. Like,
even though,
you know,
damaged,
I don't think
you'd ask it.
you know what? Actually, yes. Yeah. No, you hit the nail right on the head, Trish. You know, he has his own damages, but he can't really, like, bring them out in order to do the role the justice it needs. So it was great that we ended up getting Robert Downey Jr. in to a point where it's like the two roles become one, you know, because especially because there are times where it's like you attach a big name to a character or a part, and the part itself gets lost. It just becomes that actor. I mean, does everybody get what I'm saying? You know, it gets to a point where it's like, no, you're not watching, you know, you're not watching this character. You're watching so-and-so pretending to be this person, and it kind of takes you out. But with Downey Jr.,
it's the typecasting. You know, some character, actor that plays the same character in every movie they're in, and then they end up getting cast for a major role where that character is the main character, and now, yeah, you're stuck watching the same person but playing under a different character's name.
Yep. Nope. Exactly. But you know, I think the big thing for me with Iron Man. Well, first of all, there's a couple of things with Iron Man being the starter for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Is number one, it showed that the success that Blade had when it came out, and you know, it became like a huge thing, and it got like 3 movies and a TV series. That the success Blade had was not a fluke. This wasn't this one-time thing, and you know, that's it. You know, comic book movies are just still going to be this province of, you know, just silly, stupid shit that's never going to make any huge amount of money. It proved Blade wasn't a one-trick pony. The other thing that gets me about Iron Man is that really, okay, and this can even apply to other films in the MCU, like especially when we're talking Phase 1. Okay, take out the little post-credits scene with Nick Fury, and you have a self-contained film. You know, it can stand on its own. It's not, you know, it's not yelling to the world, I'm part one of a multi-part series! I mean, would you say, I don't know, am I on to something here, or am I talking crap?
Hello?
Iggy, I know you want to say something. I know. I see you there. The minute I said, am I on to something or talking crap, I'm like, Iggy wants to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, I see. Well, definitely not talking on the fact that you're on to something. Definitely talking shit.
there you go. And Trish, could you remind me? I owe myself $5.
No, you can give it to me though.
You know what? I'll use it to get you something. I'll use it to get you something nice.
There you go. How to gamble appropriately.
Yeah. See there you go. But,
what are you
gonna
give me that's nice for $5?
You can barely.
You
get
know what?
Hey, from the truck.
Yeah, there you go. We'll figure something out. We're two smart, intelligent adults. We'll figure something out, Trish.
Why don't you put
we'll
that as a down payment for your own comic book series that might get turned into a movie, and we get to pick who is going to act as us. I'm down with that one.
Well, you know what? Actually, Iggy, you know what? Why don't you write that down and put that in the vault, because you know we'll come back to that later. Trust, I don't want to give anything away, but trust me. So Tyler, Iggy has brought her opinion. What do you think about my? Yeah, he's here. But he's behaving. He's being a good boy.
Okay,
he's being a good boy.
Anyway, okay. Yeah, Tyler, what do you think?
But yeah, Tyler, what do you think? I mean,
I think he's right with the whole. The movie has the capability to stand on its own, but that goes with not just Iron Man, most of the first in the MCU, you know, like Captain America, Thor, all of them have the capability to stand on their own as individual movies without being part of a whole. They do have that. And that's really nice to see, because you're able to watch the movie. If you don't see the rest of them, I mean, you don't have to watch Iron Man or Captain America or anything to be able to watch the first of all of these.
See, okay, and that's where I disagree a little bit, okay, because I don't think that you can have it standing alone just because I have seen people come through and watch Iron Man and not know anything about the comic books. You know, they know Obi does. They come from fucking comic books. But it's like, you know, it starts off the huge conversation. Big example, we have Batman versus Superman. And why the fuck would they kill Superman? God, man, these people are stupid. You know, fuck this director. They, you know, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, we're not going to see Superman. And how the fuck are you going to have a Superman movie come out when you just killed him? And it's like, no. You got to read the comic books because this is canon material. And then, well, what do you mean? And the conversation starts, which means that now they're going to go backtrack. And because that information is there, I feel like they are all connected. They have to be. You know, and
okay,
it,
but you,
you know, you're like,
okay.
Yeah.
Iggy, you mm-hmm. do bring up, okay, you bring up a good point. But looking at it, okay, there's one. It's one thing to have something. You know, it's one thing to have something where it's like, oh, you need to, you know, in order to really understand it, you need to go back and read the comics. But what we're talking
about here.
No,
that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Okay.
You have to go back and look at the other movies, piece them all together, and talk to somebody who has read the comic. You don't have to read the comic books. Just find your local nerd, Eduardo, who has read the comics. And they will tell you all about it without you having to waste your time reading them. Because welcome to 2018.
Well, so you think...
Is it really
okay,
a waste
so...
of time to sit there and read the comics, though?
Yeah, I have a business to run and 4 kids to raise. I can't sit down and read comic books right now.
It's called Bedtime Stories.
Fair enough.
Hello?
Bedtime is
You grab... You grab a trade, you have your kids, like, you know, laying next to you. It's like, and see, on this page, kids, Captain America throws his shield right in the Red Skull's face because Nazis fucking suck. There you go.
Say fucking, but yeah, there you go. The end.
Okay, because Nazis suck. Anyway, there you go. Okay.
No. I would literally say it that way because this guy's a fucking asshole. Don't say fucking or asshole, but you get my gist. Next page.
Yeah, those are mommy's words. Those are mommy and daddy words.
Yeah, mommy daddy words.
See, there you go. Remind me to keep that phrase, Trish.
That's legitimately what
I'm going to keep that for future.
House too. That's a mommy daddy word.
And,
okay, you know better.
Yeah. But seriously, I mean, you know, I think it's looking. You know, we bring up that Iron Man is, you know, not only is it the very first Marvel movie, but it's the first of what's called Phase One. And, you know, both Tyler and I are in agreement that you can watch the Phase 1 films pretty much own and not have to worry. Like, you can go and watch Thor, and there's really nothing connecting to Iron Man other than Phil Coulson looking at the destroyer armor and going, oh, maybe it's one of Stark's.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. They don't inherently connect to each other in the, you know, okay. But, yeah, as you keep going with the sequels, they start to make that fucking connection, though.
They do. They do. But at least at the start.
And then if you
rewatch
all of them.
You don't have to. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to. Well, actually, you do bring up a good point, Diggy. One of the things I want to look at here, you know, in our little discussion tonight is out of each phase, so to speak, what films are like, if you can't watch all the MCU, if you can only watch like a, if you have to like pick, you know, if you have to, you know, kind of pick from the tree of the MCU, which fruits, what movies would you say are essential? Like, you have to watch these. So out of Phase One, what would you say are the most important ones? Iggy, what would you say are the most important out of Phase One? So we're talking from Iron Man to the first Avengers movie.
That's a toss-up between Iron Man and Captain America because the starting point – for both of those are very crucial, very important. So, because it introduces characters in those movies, pertinent and relevant in the big team action movie, but just in general to the whole, I mean, that's how you get Agent Peggy Carter and shit like that.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know, like, I feel like they are very important, just not just because there's the introduction of side characters / important characters. It also puts a lot of heavy emphasis on unit. Oh my God, did I just fucking say unit? Jesus Christ.
Motherfucker. The Brigadier Lefty Stewart would be proud.
Say shit. Not as much of the British accent. Literally, I fucked this up. Oh my God. fuck. Anyway, you mean what I know, okay?
Shield.
Okay, fucking yeah. Shield. Okay, put a shield on my brain, so I said unit instead. Anyways, but Captain America and Iron Man do put a lot of emphasis on fucking Shield, and which is also its own fucking bullshit right there that you do need to know, because it leads you to Nick Fury and everything that's going on behind the scenes, which then leads you to Thor, which then leads you to, you know, like, I don't know. I would just, can we have a Black Widow movie? Please?
Yeah. You know, I have to admit, you do bring up, the importance of S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick Fury is kind of this, Nick Fury and also to a degree Phil Coulson as sort of the glue. But Tyler, if you had to pick from phase one, like which are the important movies, which ones would you pick?
I don't know. I kind of feel like they all have their own importance in their own right, because they have those scenes at the end that tie them all together. If you miss one, mm-hmm. you don't really understand where that character came from and where he started and how that all came to happen. At that point, you're looking at characters being introduced with no introduction. Kind of like Civil War, where they introduced Spider-Man, and if you remove every other Spider-Man, Homecoming came later. So I know we're speaking phase one, but you don't have Spider-Man's introduction to kind of explain where he came from, who he is, even though everybody knows that. You're missing that introduction, and without those phase one movies, you don't have that.
Yeah, it's bottom line, it comes down to the fact that you have children that have not read the comic books. For example, my daughter Allison, who's very much into this stuff, she hasn't read the comic books. All she's going is the movies and what she's seeing, and that's what's sparking her interest to know more about it. Kind of like how we started out with, was like, you know, you got the television shows, cartoon animated stuff, which leads us to the comic books to read more and have more information. So that's how I started out as well. But, you know, and it's not just the fucking characters coming through, like, oh, I don't know this and I don't know that. I mean, for me, I feel like any movie, it doesn't matter what you do, any movie is always going to have, like, holes in the story. Like, well, that didn't quite happen this way, and, well, that character isn't supposed to look that way, and, you know.
Right.
So, you know, even if you didn't know Spider-Man, I think it's more based on, you know, that target demographic is the younger kids that literally have no knowledge of this and going, well, who's that? Well, I've been waiting for you to ask me that. That is a badass motherfucker. Don't say motherfucker.
Okay, so Trish, which films would you say out of phase one are essential if we're going to understand the overall story of the MCU?
Oh, geez. Well, I think you need to have all of the first movies of all the different characters, just because you need the introduction to know who this character is, where they're coming from. But as far as the other ones go, I'm not sure how essential some of them are, like Iron Man 2, really?
Well, then again, I mean, that is how we get Black Widow.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
that
it
is where she comes
his
from.
Personality. I mean, it helps you to get to know him better. It's like going on a date with Iron Man.
Oh,
that
there
would
you
be
go.
Like a fucking nightmare and wonderful at the same time, but
Well, you know he'd pick you up in a really impressive car.
If we were to talk about ones that might not be necessary to watch in order to understand everything, I mean, Black Panther was a brilliant, wonderful movie, but you didn't need to see it to go see Infinity War. You know?
No, you didn't.
Okay, very, very true. Very true. And you know, good, you know, that is a good point. As far as for me, as far as like phase. Yeah. Well, okay. As far as I'm concerned, if we're taking just phase one, I would say like 90% of them are important, again, for character introductions, if there was one, if I couldn't do all of Phase One, if there was like that one movie that I had to pick, and it's like, okay, I don't have to do this one movie in order to understand what's going on, I would have to say Incredible Hulk. Because, I don't know, I feel like Incredible Hulk is kind of in this weird sort of limbo existence where it's on its own and it doesn't feel like it's a part of this huge thing. I think part of what helps is that Ed Norton is playing Bruce Banner instead of Mark Ruffalo. And really, with the exception of the Hulk himself and Thaddeus Ross, who later shows up in Civil War, and, you know, he also shows up in Infinity War, which, slight spoiler, but really nothing, like, come on, guys, you know, is that, but anyway, you know, Thaddeus Ross shows up later, but, for example, we haven't seen Betty Ross, we haven't seen the Abomination again. Really, there was not that much about Incredible Hulk other than introducing the character that was so vital that you can't miss it. You know,
yeah,
the Hulk,
it's kind of like, Captain America, where it introduces Bucky, Winter Soldier. It's Captain America, first movie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Exactly. Well, see, that's the thing. Captain America. We get Cap, we get Bucky. You know, you can watch Winter Soldier, but if you did not know, you know, if you did not know what Bucky's history is, then, you know, you're kind of wondering, why does Captain America, you know, this is a partner that Captain America had that you know nothing about. You didn't get to see that rapport.
God, he was so fine in Captain America 1, too. Oh, my God, he was so good in that uniform hat.
Yeah.
I'm
and
over
hey,
here like,
remember,
your
Captain
uniform
America
is so on set right now. Fix that goddamn hat. But really don't. Just take your time fixing it, because it's not working for you.
Yeah. And, you know, before we move from Phase One to Phase Two, I think the thing I think we do have to give Marvel credit for, as far as the MCU movies are concerned, is that we've had post-credit stuff before. You know, this is nothing new. There's always been like some sort of little thing for the post-credits. You know, it could be something small, like, for example, at the end of Gremlins, we have like the little Gremlin laugh. Or it can be like an actual scene after the credits, you know. So, like, for example, the first one that popped in my head was Napoleon Dynamite, where we had that long scene with Napoleon on the horse and everything. Or, you know, something just as, you know, something like Masters of the Universe, you know, where Skeletor pops out of the water and goes, "I'll be back," you know, complete with like a little triumphant end note piece of music. But the MCU, to me, it feels like before you had that very first scene where Samuel Jackson shows up and goes, "I want to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative." It feels like now end credit scenes have taken on like this huge importance, to the point where, I mean, what's that website that Billy consults? That Billy consults a lot? The one that.
Something like endofcredits.com or something like that.
Right. Like there's actually a website that tells you if a movie has something at the end of the credits, so you know whether or not to leave, like, during the credits. I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, by default,
gotta,
you should already know not to fucking leave any sort of superhero movie, okay? Because, like, MCU is notorious for that, okay? They're just... By,
well, no,
but
see, but before,
that there's going to be one.
But we're talking beforehand, though. We're talking before the MCU started this. I mean, yeah, there were other movies before that did have end credit stuff, but the MCU made it such a big deal. Like, it didn't become that big a deal until the MCU.
Even though,
the
end credit scenes aren't that mandatory to really continue with the flow. They are still little Easter eggs that you get, and you don't have to see them to understand what's going on with these stories. They do introduce other characters, let you know what else is coming, but you don't have to see them.
Oh, no, you don't know. And I'm not saying you have to, but I'm saying that these scenes and the fact that they've now that the MCU made them a thing, they turned into a big deal. I mean, you don't have to see them, but seeing them, you know what's coming, and, you know, it kind of helps hype you up for either the next MCU movie or the sequel to the movie you were just watching.
True.
Yeah, see, there, yeah, true. Very true.
All right, whatever. You make sense.
You know, yeah, but...
You have a nasty habit of doing that, making sense.
See, I try not to, but you know what? I end up doing it anyway. I've been working on it, but you know, it just keeps happening. And you know, all the self-help groups that I've part in, they just don't work. I don't know. I think I'm incurable. But
did you just say self-help
to,
group? Oh, I knew it.
Yeah.
I fucking
or
knew
what?
It.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, phase two. I think phase two. It started with Iron Man 3 and, strangely enough, ended in Ant-Man. I know that Iron Man 3 kind of gets ragged on, but I got to be honest, I don't really have a problem with Iron Man 3, at least not in the way that some people did, in the sense that it's like, I remember there were complaints because they wanted Iron Man 3 to be this big thing, because that was... the first movie after
No, that was unnecessary. That's unnecessary to make it a big thing. Like it's unnecessary.
Right.
Like
Well it's like the way I kind of explain it is that if you treat Avengers as like this big event comic, you know, whenever you have stuff like that, you sometimes have tie-in issues and, you know, oh, you'll go to pick up this, you know, there's the big event comic and then there's like the other comics, and if they're tied into that, you pick up the comic and there's like this little banner at the top that says a tie-in to Avengers. And Iron Man 3, it's like a tie-in comic, but if you look at the banner on the front cover, it will say tie-in to Avengers, and it'll say like Aftermath. So yeah, it wasn't like a big thing, but it was like, it was an Aftermath comic. In other words, the big thing has happened, and this is now trying to deal with the big thing.
Okay, but on a side note, for real, I feel like that's only written on the comic book for the sake of solving arguments amongst nerds. Because think about it, there's no reason for it to really be written on the comic book that way until a couple nerds start fighting. It's tandem. It's not tandem. It is. It isn't. Pop open the fucking comic book. It says right here that it is.
Yeah, Yes and no. It does help. It does show that the event matters and it's canon. But also, it's a way that if the event is selling like hotcakes, you know, somebody, you know, if you're Iggy Matthews, you're reading the big event comic, and you see that there's a tie-in because there's the banner, you're gonna want to read the tie-in, aren't you?
I don't know. I have attention deficit. What the fuck was that?
The ADD?
I'm sorry, what? I got distracted with something. What were we talking about?
Yeah. We were talking about cupcakes and how I can never have them again. Thank you, Doctor and Weight
syndrome.
Watchers. Hate you both. No, it's called getting old.
Yeah, that's people who get old get IBS.
Yeah. But here's the thing. We got, it starts off with Iron Man 3, which, you know, I would say is the Aftermath comic for, you know, the big event that's Avengers. And we really, I think, phase two, we do get introductions like Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, but we also get what I feel, you know, we're talking about the essentials here. We also get stuff like Captain America Winter Soldier, which not only does it bring Bucky back and it does the Marvel cinematic version of the Winter Soldier story, but it's also, I think, the first movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that really kind of just changes the game. Because, you know, when Nick Fury showed up in Iron Man, it's like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be this this presence in all the Marvel stuff. And Winter Soldier blew it up. You know, Winter Soldier, it took S.H.I.E.L.D. down. And that's something that has affected, you know, that's affected everything going forward. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which had its first season as we were building up to Captain America Winter Soldier, its first season, which people are not a big fan of, one of the things is that it led, you know, it's one of those things where you look at the final episodes of the season and you see that, oh, okay, the reason we had this is because it was all leading up to this moment where it's like, oh, so you know how it was supposed to be this wussy little thing called Centipede? No! Mm-hmm. Fooled you! It's Hydra! And we're blowing shit up. And this thing called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's like, it's not going to be what you think it is. So, you know, and that is the credit to Winter Soldier. I mean, again, am I making sense
again?
Yeah,
with heavy implications of Project Monarch and the Nazis, really cool fucking douchebag.
Yeah. Well, not to mention some stuff like showing people that, if you're going to be frozen in ice, here's a bunch of pop culture you should really catch up on, including, what was it, Marvin Gaye, Trouble Man? Was that Marvin Gaye or was that somebody else? I want to say Marvin Gaye. I'll have to look it up. I'll have to look it up later.
But I do have to get this out of my chest, though, because
mm-hmm.
if there is one end of credit scene that pissed me the fuck off and completely pointless, that if I could do away with any end of credit scene and just erase it, boom, 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 it's the Guardians of the Galaxy after credit scene. Cool, yeah, had no substance. Like, you implied, like, some bullshitting in, like, it's like it was misleading as fuck. You know, and I'm just,
okay, are you talking,
like,
now wait, are you talking about,
what the point of that?
Okay, are you talking about the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
Yep.
How the scene at the end of the credits was Howard the Duck?
Howard the Duck. And you know, so many people get excited, like, what the fuck? Oh my God, so we're going to be able to, you know, this is a thing that's going to happen. No.
Well, it's, you know what?
No.
You know what? You do bring up a good point, Biggie, which is, yeah, the scene really doesn't add anything, but
it's misleading, it's pointless,
kinda,
it was not necessary.
Well, okay, maybe, but at least
it's enjoyable
in
its own right, sure, but no.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of, well, I'm going to put that together with the end credits scene to Iron Man 3, which reveals that Tony Stark was narrating the whole thing to Bruce Banner, you know, trying to use Bruce Banner as a psychiatrist. It's like, yeah, it didn't lead into anything, but it was kind of a funny little thing, you know, a funny little joke to end things on. To be honest, I will have to admit, I am one of those people that, okay, I hate the, I think that the Howard the Duck movie from the 80s is horrible. I think it's one of the worst movies ever made, and
terrible.
Honestly, I want to take George Lucas, and I want to take some of the people responsible and, like, drag them to Steve Gerber. You know, I want them to be like, you have to apologize to Steve Gerber. Apologize, fucking apologize. No, mean it, asshole. Okay, and then I just want to, like, lock them in a room with a stack of Howard the Duck comics and go, this is the awesome trippy shit you ruined, asshole.
Fix it. Fix it now.
Fix it. Exactly. Hashtag fix it.
Well, actually, the
better
hashtag would be, you know, my neighbor, Samantha, she has a 3-year-old daughter. She can't say, like, X's, like, fix it. She can't say fix it to save her life. She says fix it. So hashtag
fix it
right now.
Fix it. Ooh, I like that.
Fix it.
I like that.
Fix it.
What do you think? Yeah, what do you think, Trish? Hashtag fix it.
Sure.
Thicket.
All right. It's a thing. It's a thing now. We're all agreed. It's a thing. Hashtag
mm-hmm.
Thicket. There you go.
Well, it's better
listener,
than the other thing that
her daughter
around. Says. The smoking. She can't say smoking either. Saying no smoking in the house. She says no fucking in the house. I'm like, I'll have you know that not one time I ever done that in this house in particular.
Wait, I'm
sorry.
Okay.
Wait,
that's serious? That's seriously a thing?
That's,
yeah.
No, she's,
oh my
she
God.
Can't say that's, it. I have it on video. I'll
that's
send
adorable.
It to you guys, okay?
Oh,
I have
that's
it on
adorable.
Video, but she's... Because I was vaping, and she's like, what are you doing fucking in my house? I'm like, I beg your pardon? I have never.
Oh, my.
No fucking
oh my
in my
God,
house.
That is adorable.
I'm like, yes, ma'am.
That is adorable.
Sick it.
That is adorable.
Okay.
But, yeah. Okay. There is something that I do want to bring up to the group, as it were. I mentioned before, we did, in Phase 2, the final movie of it was Ant-Man. And I know a lot of people have been like, this is weird to end phase two on that kind of note. But here's the question. Like, I'm still trying to figure it out myself. But what do you guys think? Like, why did Marvel and Disney decide that to end the second phase of their movies, we're going to end it on a movie of a guy of an ex-con who shrinks? Trish, what do you think? Why do you think they did that?
Wait, repeat that, please. Someone was trying to talk to me.
Well, I was going to. I was saying that the last film of Phase Two was Ant-Man, and some people have wondered why. Why did they end on that? You know, where you know the film that preceded that was Age of Ultron. You know, it's another big epic. Why end it on a note like Ant-Man?
I don't know. Ant-Man was fun.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Okay. Tyler, why do you think they ended it on Ant-Man instead of Age of Ultron?
I mean, the best answer I could probably come up with is that Ant-Man plays such a huge role in the MCU, and it's not one that a lot of people know about because he is that dude that shrinks, and he's so behind the scenes in these big fights.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get into stuff like Civil War, where he goes to Giant Man, you don't really know who he is, and the introduction of him was necessary for the continuation of the series.
Really, because it's like we do, you know, there is a moment that implies, you know, there's that stuff, that backstory that shows that. Hank Pym was working with S.H.I.E.L.D. back in the day before he retired. But really, it's like, other than that, you know, Ant-Man, it's, you know, that's something that I also have to give credit to the MCU for, which is that they're very good also at when they fit characters in, like explaining, you know, and trying to put it as to now, why is it now that they're a thing? You know, why is it that now Ant-Man has made his introduction? Why is it now that, you know, we're hearing of this or that? So, you know, it is, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't, you know, although here's the thing, though, and I'm just, this is just me making a prediction. We do know there's a sequel coming. We know Ant-Man and Wasp, that's coming later on in the summer. And we do know it's going to get more into the quantum realm. That was introduced in the first movie. So I don't know. It could just be that it's an Ant-Man's importance is something that we haven't realized yet. So in a sense, you could end up being right, you know, only because there's like pieces of this puzzle that have not been, you know, we don't realize we just haven't seen them yet, or we haven't acknowledged
them. They're going to Pulp Fiction the fuck out of us. It's going to be a Pulp Fiction moment of where everything is happening. You have no idea what the fuck is going on. And then once it happens, you're like, oh, I get it now. Got it. Now it all makes sense.
Hmm. Okay, then. Although, Iggy, would you agree with Tyler? Or do you have,
I think
your
he's
own opinion
onto something. I think that basically this might have been the MCU's way of trying to put more emphasis instead of like, look at these superheroes and what they can do and look at this awesome fight scene. It's like, hey, also remember that there is, we are trying to follow a story here. You know, so I think that that was their way of trying to be like, you know, but for real, this is for the nerds. Okay, guys, like we're trying to follow a story. You know, this is the comic book tandem shit. Because, I mean, if you were to just go and follow Age of Ultron, just right straight away, you're going based on that superhero, yeah, nerd, yes, and fuck, yes, everywhere, boom. You know, but to go, well, wait for that one, hold on. Ant-Man, what if I told you he was there the whole time? You just didn't see him.
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of, I know there were some people
that
complained.
And not only
that,
it leads into Wasp, too. Like, you know, to bring Ant-Man in also opens the door to bring other shit in as well.
Right. Well, see, and that's kind of what they're, well, that's one of the things. I know that people, like, when it was said, oh, Michael Douglas is playing Hank Pym, you know, some people were like, what, he's so fucking old, what the hell? But once you kind of see what they did, the fact that Ant-Man was around before, but it was the Ant-Man suit worn by Michael Douglas and doing, like, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D., Black Ops, you know, spy shit, then it's like, oh, I see what they're doing now. You know, it does tie back to what Fury told Stark at the end of Iron Man. You know, you're part of a much bigger world. You know, it's like, listen,
or
motherfucker.
Smaller.
Yeah, well, yeah, but
you
basically, it's,
little,
you know,
button.
Yeah, very nice. But yeah, Nick Fury was basically telling Tony Stark, there's more to this. You're not the first person to put on a suit or, you know, do something and be like, look, I'm being a hero. It's like, this has been going on for a while. So,
which,
you know,
is a delicious, delightful
kind of
fucking shade throw,
yep,
from Nick Fury to Iron Man, going like, you're not the last can of Coke in the desert, okay? You're not that fucking important.
Yeah, exactly.
You are important, okay? Drop your ego down a little bit and realize that, you know, you're just another,
yeah,
team member.
Yeah, or at least it's like, what you're doing is nothing new. Like,
exactly,
I know you think it's
exactly,
like, oh, cool, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're just,
yeah,
a new incarnation, like, of something that's been happening for a minute.
Yeah.
Your dad was doing this before you, just so you know.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or, you know, I think the other thing, you know, I will say, though, that Ant-Man and Guardians do share, well, they share two things. Number one, the fact that their humor was very much at the forefront of what was going on. I mean, you still had some dramatic moments, but the humor in things was emphasized much more, I think, than other MCU movies, to the point where,
yeah,
it's almost,
dialed down.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing is that I think both of them, much like the introductory movies of Phase 1, you can watch Guardians and you do not have to worry about the other movies in the MCU. I mean, yeah, by the time Guardians came out, we had already seen four of the Infinity Stones. But you did not need to, like, you did not have to watch Captain America, the First Avenger, and know about the Tesseract. You did not have to watch Thor, the Dark World, and know about the Infinity Stone that Malachite had, you know, the mm-hmm, you know, the MacGuffin of the film. You know, you could just watch, you know, all you had to do, you could watch the collector's scene where he talks about all the Infinity Stones, and you have what you need, you know, you have what you need. You really didn't need to go back. Hell, you didn't even need to know about Thanos showing up at the end of Avengers and, you know, flashing that smile when his little minion says, oh, to attack Earth is to court death. You didn't need to know about that. You really did not need to know, you know. You could just watch this and see Thanos as, like, a big bad, and that's it. I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah. The issue that I have here is that it's, you know, the way that the films are done, and this is coming from speaking to a couple different people at conventions and stuff, and there's, you know, they're making it seem like Thanos coming in, and the fact that we're even dealing with Thanos at all is all Loki's fault. No. So, it's because of the whole Tesseract bullshit. I'm like, yeah, Loki played a fucking part in it, yes, okay, but it's not, like, because of Loki, you get Thanos, okay? Thanos already been fucking plotting for a minute. Because,
yeah,
of the stones.
Yeah, which, by the way, I have a Thanos action figure that I bought off eBay, and Thanos and my movie-accurate Doctor Strange figure are actually on a shelf next to my desk, as I, you know, as we broadcast, I kind of put them on as, like, a luck charm for tonight. So yeah, just a fun little aside. But yeah, that, see, the people who complain, oh, the only reason we got Thanos is because of Loki. I do have an analogy that could fit with this case. As far as, like, if you go in story, like, forget the real world, forget the world that you and I live in. Okay. As far as in story is concerned, okay, as far as the story of the Marvel Universe, in story, we were going to get Thanos sooner or later. Because as we find out through these movies, okay, Earth had at least two Infinity Stones on it. It had the Mind Stone, which Doctor Strange had in his amulet, the Time Stone was in Strange's amulet. The Tesseract was also on Earth. And then later on, because Loki lost the scepter, we had the Mind Stone. So sooner or later, Thanos was going to be like, okay, let me see. Let me look at my hand. One, two, three. Oh, shit, I'm missing two. Where are they? Oh, they're on that little blue planet that's third from the sun in this little bullshit solar system. Well, that's where I'm going this weekend. So he was going to come. He was going to come sooner or later. Okay, it's just that everything that went on with Loki kind of set, you know, it kind of just cemented that this was going to happen. It's like, Tyler, Iggy, are either of you Star Trek The Next Generation fans?
I was at some point. I think my father for that one. That's how I even started my whole nerd walk.
All right. But Tyler, are you familiar with it?
No, not really. I know of it. I haven't really watched it though.
All right. Well, I know I've shown an episode or two to Trish, but Iggy, you might remember this. So we have the character of Q in Star Trek: The Next Generation, and there is one episode where he tries to prove to the Enterprise crew, oh, you're going to need me down the line, and he throws them to the other side of the galaxy, and then this is how we get the Borg. You know, this famous Star Trek villains of, like, this cyborg race. The reason this is how we were introduced to the Borg. You know, the main thing the Enterprise had to deal with, it was Q. But Q basically was like, look, you throw shade at me. You're like, oh, this is this guy with omnipotent powers and won't leave us the fuck alone. But you know what? You're going to need me. Oh, you want proof? Snaps his fingers. The Enterprise is on the other side of the galaxy, and there's a race of unstoppable cyborgs. And Q goes, yeah, you know what? This is your future. This shit is coming for you. Okay? And at the end of the episode, Picard even says, they're coming. You know, they are coming. We are going to have to deal with this. And lo and behold, very next season, final episode, who shows up? Iggy?
The Borg.
The Borg. And we even find out that the Borg were responsible for some stuff behind the scenes, dating all the way back to the first season of Next Generation.
Yeah, even the whole time.
Yeah, so right there, it's just like, you know, Thanos is the same way.
It was just a trigger point.
Thanos is the same way. Exactly. Like, see, the Q episode was the trigger point for the Borg. The Borg saw the Enterprise. They now had a taste of what's, you know, going on in the Alpha Quadrant, and they're like, okie dokie, let's program our little cybernetic hive mind GPS and go that way. Same thing. Thanos wanted the Infinity Gems. Two were on Earth. It just so happened that Loki, when he attacked Earth, that made Thanos go, I'm going to keep an eye on this place. So, you know, in that sense, that's what I have to say to them.
It's not Loki. It's not like, oh, because of Loki. It's like I don't know.
No.
Because in a sense it is, you know, Loki's just the one to pull the trigger because he was trying to get his own selfish fucking bullshit out of it. And it turned out to cause this, which obviously he's not going to be against because it's Loki. He's always going to think that I can con my way through this. I can work this into my favor. I can, you know, utilize this. Never mind that you literally just set off, like, you know, I don't know, another fucking Armageddon here, because I can't say Ragnarok because then people are going to get confused. but yeah, I mean, it's literally stepping back and looking at all of the films objectively, because if you read too much into it, you're going to get unnecessary confusion and misreadings. I mean, seek and you shall find. You're going to start finding connections where there aren't any. But, you know, and at the same time, like, the movies and the comic books are pretty much self-explanatory. There's no, like, hidden bullshit here and whatever. I mean, and if it was, you still come to find out that it all links together, and it's still pretty simple. But, you know, and this is actually something that I'm going to be bringing up because I'll be doing a panel at Tidewater Comic-Con, so this is definitely something that I want to bring up because we're going to be comparing MCU to DCCU. And DCCU is the one that you do have to put in the connection there.
Trish, do you think we should have Iggy do a shameless take a drink of something? Because shameless plug.
Those are Mark Who rules. We don't play by that here.
Oh, okay. All right. So you don't have to take a drink. You don't have to take a drink with a shameless plug. All right. Well, we'll come up with something else. We'll come up with something else she has to do. Because yeah, shame. If you're gonna do a shameless plug, we have to come up with some sort of thing you have to do. Some sort of payment.
It's shame. Well, fucking shameless plug. Okay. If this is my business, I'll do what I want. Okay. Next week we're doing Tequila Tuesday. Okay. Fuck it. I'm implementing that now.
Oh, okay. I don't think I can do tequila though. That's a lot of sugar, isn't it, Trish? Yeah. Too many points, I think.
No, it's not.
Really?
No,
rum is sugar.
Rum is the distilled sugar.
Oh, rum. Okay.
Tequila is a plant.
Agave. It's a plant. It just grows that way.
Oh,
if you
okay.
just so happen all right. to drink it in a cup, there are some effects.
Okay. All right. I'm on Weight Watchers. I gotta watch the whole point thing. Okay. I'm watching myself gain weight.
Me too. I'm on Weight Watchers too. I'm watching myself gain weight.
But before we move on to phase three. Before we move on to phase three, okay? Because I feel like it has to be. I feel we have to touch upon this. You know, getting back on track. Getting back on track here. Before we move on to phase three, I do want to bring up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the TV stuff because I think we've said it. We've talked about it before on other episodes that the TV stuff seems to be in its own little kind of realm. They tried with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in season one to link things, and we saw what happened. You know, the first season didn't do so hot, and then once they dropped the Winter Soldier twist of like, oh, Hydra's been here all along, that kind of got things going. But the sad thing for me is just how it feels like, yeah, the TV stuff, it could have been so much more if they tried. I mean, it doesn't even have to be anything that complicated or that difficult, like, oh, hey, Chris Hemsworth, can you do us a favor and appear on a TV show? As Thor, it doesn't even have to be something like that, but it would be nice if, the stuff that went on in the movies had a little bit of a bigger impact. Something that I'm thinking of is, for example, the first movie of Phase 3 was Captain America Civil War, okay, which that was the MCU's version of Marvel's storyline where it was hero against hero over... do people with superpowers have to register with the government like somebody who owns a firearm or something like that?
Which I was not
the thing for me,
against
know,
it.
Here's my thing. My thing is
we do need to talk about that, okay? Because we have yet to touch on that fucking subject. We do need to talk about it. Where the fuck do we stand there?
Yeah. One thing I do want to bring up, though, before we get into that, is it's a shame that, for whatever reason, which does seem to be, office politics between all the producers, it's a shame that the things can't, that the two sides can't be a little more merged. Because imagine for a second. So, okay, Luke Cage, right? He's protector of Harlem, and it's a pretty known fact that
he has Luke Cage, all right.
Oh, shit. I have my wife thinking of chocolate. Okay. Damn it. Okay. I know what she's going to be thinking about in her sleep tonight. I did it to myself. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, Luke Cage, in his series and when he appears on Jessica Jones and he appeared in the Avengers, it's kind of known that he has the unbreakable skin and the superhuman strength. But I kind of find it's a shame that Captain America Civil War, they bring in the Sokovia Accords, and what happens is that they become law, and, people with powers have to register. They kind of touched on it with S.H.I.E.L.D., but, I kind of feel like it would have been nice in Netflix, to kind of touch on the fact that the Accords exist And then just for whatever reason, like, for example, I could see that, okay, Cage is kind of the unofficial defender of Harlem. So I could kind of see where if, like, a S.H.I.E.L.D. unit tries or a government unit tries to bring in Cage, I could see that the citizens are like, get the fuck out. It doesn't matter if he signed a paper. He's defending our neighborhood. You know, fuck off. You know, at least some acknowledgement of what's going on in the world other than just, oh, yeah, you know, oh, yeah, a guy with a cape and a hammer, you know, fought aliens in New York. It's, you know, just more of that. I mean, I don't know. Is it? Am I wrong?
I wasn't entirely against it just because, you know, I thought mm-hmm. it was a nice touch because if you look at Harlem and whatnot, you know, ain't no superheroes coming to Harlem. And of course,
right.
you know, as if it's not already bad enough that all the good shit happens to New York and Harlem and Queens and all these other fucking, like, what, Bronx,
yeah.
Brooklyn. They don't have anything going on. They're the project.
Yeah.
You know,
but nothing ever happens over there, so they're looking at stuff
in New York like, you know,
right.
I do, but at the same time,
but you do
it's
see what
like,
I'm saying, that it's
that's
like,
nothing
that's like,
new. So
well,
like,
but,
yeah,
but,
some,
well,
the
no,
same
what I'm,
thing that happened over there. Nothing's happening in
okay,
Harlem.
But what I'm saying, Iggy, what I'm saying is that we're talking in-universe here, that you have a movie that introduces a game changer into the framework of this shared universe, but that
mm-hmm.
this piece of the shared universe doesn't, like, it doesn't acknowledge it. And there's, way, you know, there are ways that it could have been acknowledged. And,
no,
you know,
I
could actually,
it,
like,
okay?
fit within the story.
Because the universe only addresses, really puts, like, the comic books never, like, hardly ever pay attention to the citizens, okay? If anything, they make them look, like, really stupid, like white people on infomercials that can't even open bottles, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
well,
to for the
well,
TV show
the
to
hand,
put a little bit more
yeah.
emphasis
yeah.
on the civilians.
Yeah. Trish, you were going to – wait, Trish, you had something you want to bring in? Sorry, sorry to interrupt, but Trish.
Okay, so lately on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they've been talking about multiverse. And who's
right.
to say that when they went into the future and then came back, they didn't split
mm-hmm.
off into another universe that's no longer what the movies are?
Wibbly
you know what I mean?
Okay, so – well, that may explain why this season S.H.I.E.L.D. really hasn't touched.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why we don't have Infinity War stuff. So are you saying that it's possible that maybe the Netflix stuff is in its own universe that did have a Battle of New York but hasn't had all this other shit?
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah, well,
but
yeah.
you know what?
Well,
basically,
you know
what it is, is that they don't want to have all these continuity issues
by trying to link everything. It sounds easy on the surface
okay.
when we talk about it. It sounds like it should be pretty easy to
yeah.
Make it so
well,
that they all connect up. But it probably isn't as easy as we think.
And then and to try to do that, it's one less thing they have to worry about doing.
Okay, that's fair. That is a fair assessment.
And it also goes along the lines of on a need-to-know basis because, like, the perspective that you're seeing through the superhero movies, you're also seeing, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. shit. You're seeing, like, government shit that's happening. I mean, for fuck's sake, they were in some airport. What the fuck are the odds that, you know, when Civil War was happening, you know, what the fuck are the odds that, you know, very many civilians knew what the fuck was going on, you know? So, you know, and then all over the country
true.
At that, and then what's to say that it's the same time period? You know, all we know is to do with
so
a cape.
It makes it so that people that don't go to the movie theater or don't like going to the movies, they don't have to go to the movies to know what's going on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true.
You know,
very, very true.
You know, I mean, that would make it hard. I mean, if you had to go to the movies to know what was going on on your television.
Yeah, you can't watch anything.
I think maybe when they did that with Civil War, maybe... Is that the one that they did it with? Was it Civil War? Was it Winter Soldier?
Wait, which one? What are you talking
connected
about?
To? When S.H.I.E.L.D. connected, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. connected
oh,
to...
Oh, are you talking
movies.
About when S.H.I.E.L.D., are you talking about the Hydra reveal? That was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Winter Soldier.
Yeah, see, maybe they tried that, and maybe it didn't go over so well. You know?
Okay,
maybe
people are just like,
I don't know what the hell's going on anymore.
Yeah, that is, okay, that is a good point. I think also probably what happened, like probably the downside also to the Hydra reveal in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of dealt with the effects of it, but there might be some people out there who they didn't want to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to have the characters be bystanders of an event they have no control over. You know, so it's like, because, yeah, the main of the corrupt, you know, the corrupt stuff in S.H.I.E.L.D. happened in Winter Soldier, not in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Kind of almost making the characters there guests in their own series, you know, and just not really playing a part in a big thing. So I can see where that can also be a turnoff. You know what, Iggy, actually you did want to bring this up, and I think, yeah, maybe we'll ask the group right here. So yeah, the Sokovia Accords were introduced in Civil War, another game changer, especially because it broke the Avengers apart after the uh-huh. fact that they were supposed to be forming was supposed to be this another structure of these movies. But
to be fair, the Sokovia mm-hmm. Accords were introduced at the end of Ultron, weren't they?
Introduced. You know, I think
not
there
necessarily
was...
talked about, but
okay.
brought up.
I think there was like a brief thing, like it could have been maybe a, you know, like in that montage at the end. But yeah, in Civil War was when they were really brought to bear. You know, when it was like, oh, we've been working on this since you were fighting robots over in Eastern Europe. One thing I do want to talk about very, very quickly though, since Iggy brought it up, and I know she, you know, and it sounds like she does want to, you know, talk about this. So Civil War, Sokovia Accords, registration, yay or nay. Iggy, you're the one who wanted to talk about this very quickly. Yay or nay, would you support superhuman registration?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, registration. Tyler, registration, yay or nay?
Registration as a superhero, yes, but not required to give up your identity.
Oh,
ooh,
there you go.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, there you go. I like that answer. Trish, registration, yay or nay?
What Tyler said.
Okay, registration, yes. You don't have to give up your identity. I would say probably... For me, I kind of agree with the three of you. Keeping a database or some sort of, you know, just something where you know about who is active as like a hero in the superhero capacity is a good idea. I think the only thing for me is. I can be a paranoid motherfucker, okay? And I have, like, I'm one of these that I can develop serious trust issues when it comes to certain, you know, when it comes to certain areas. And I would be all about, you know, okay, if we're going to do this registration shit, then, yeah, you can't give up your identity, and this is not a draft. This is not, oh, you can only move under my supervision doing this and that. Because, you know, and it's one of these things where, and I will admit, because I'm a bit genre savvy, and because, you know, I observe, like, what goes on in these universes, that I try to put myself in that position. And I think, okay, someone like Captain America does not need his movements, like, he is intelligent enough that he should be able to move to, you know, the trouble spots as he sees them without somebody going, yeah, I don't think you should go there, Captain. You know, why don't you go here or do this? Mind you, it doesn't apply to everybody.
This is a loaded argument, though. Like, this is such a loaded argument.
It is.
Just because, you know, okay, so why can Captain America, like, not need any sort of dictation, but then somebody like Luke Cage would have to, you know, like, I don't know. Like,
there you go.
You know, like, so why, you know, if it's good for the goose, good for the gander. So, I mean, they're all pretty much, like, what the fuck are you going to do to stop them? What is the repercussions thereof?
Yeah.
you know, in case,
yeah,
like,
that
let's
is,
say
that, that
Captain America
well,
wanted to be like, fuck you, no. What are you going to do?
Yeah, well, I mean, another someone else who got introduced in Phase 3 and, you know, who ended up being a big part of Infinity War's Doctor Strange. And really, you do have...
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. With Doctor Strange, though, it is that question of, okay, well... Oh boy, here we go. Okay, so basically, Trish, but you're saying basically, Trish, you want a fantasy menage a trois with Luke Cage and Doctor Strange?
She is absolutely doing nothing wrong with that. Okay.
And Thor. Okay, so you don't. Okay, no. Okay, so we've gone from menage a trois to full blown orgy because we've got three guys and you. Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm good.
That's
to
fine. I, you know.
Now those are the only ones that have RSVP'd at this point. Many more invitations have been given out. We just haven't heard back yet.
You know what? I would not be surprised. But yeah, you know, using this this conversation, using Doctor, you know, moving away from the orgy part, back to the main topic. Yeah. So you know, we're talking about how do you handle this if you're registering superhumans. And Doctor Strange, we're talking about somebody who has access to powers that are just so beyond anything almost anybody handles. So, yeah, I mean, if he had to register, the question here is how the fuck do you enforce it when he can, you know, use his little powers? He can open a portal, and next thing you know, you're in the middle of a Kansas wheat field when you were trying to put the cuffs on him. And, you know, you're stuck having to walk home.
You put him in charge. Okay, because it doesn't make sense to have a fucking 20-piece chicken McNobody over here telling these fucking superheroes what they can and cannot do. You don't have S.H.I.E.L.D. controlling them. You have somebody who is able to actually do something about it, because let's say that something happens, like some sort of mind melt happens with the Hulk. What the fuck do you do? What the fuck is a chicken McNobody and S.H.I.E.L.D. gonna fucking do when Hulk
is the person who should be in charge of enforcing the accords and enforcing registration and keeping all these people in line should be a hero themselves.
Who can actually do it? Who can actually keep them in check? You know, not necessarily stopping their fucking power, but isolating them.
Interesting. Of course. Then again, I mean, someone like Strange, wouldn't you think
he's
that
already just in his own right? He is. He's very much like. I mean, if you look at Thor Ragnarok, for fuck's sake, he took them. Loki and Thor took them. Listen, your little motherfucker is causing a lot of problems. Are you going to keep him in check, or do I have to step in? No, I'll keep him in check.
Right.
He's
okay.
Not gonna be a problem.
Okay. Of course.
All right, cool.
Well,
go
of
back
course.
To your fucking bullshit.
Well, of course. Also, but the problem though, Iggy, is. You know, getting at least like a significant portion of the of like world governments to recognize Strange as an authority, because
it doesn't need that. The superheroes themselves would have to decide that, because what the fuck again? What the fuck is a 20-piece chicken? Like, nobody have any right to stand on when you're looking at fucking superheroes. I mean, what are you gonna do? You're basically a street lamp in front of a fucking moving vehicle. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
that's
so, I mean, at that
interesting
point,
way to think.
To
yeah.
Be its own, it would have to be its own government voted by the heroes themselves, because they're the ones who are going to submit to a martial law. Okay. So, they should vote for their own leader.
Yeah.
Like, hey, listen, this does need to happen. You do need like the super president that fucking has meetings with the American president and the Russian dictator of fucking hell in no shirt and eat bear eating bullshit. I mean, you know, shit like that. So.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because.
It's kind of like Doctor Who, how you have like the president of the world and he meets with everybody else, like in case shit hits the fan, dude, you're in charge. You make the call.
That's the thing. I think that's one of the things, at least in the comics, Captain America, I don't know so much about nowadays, but I know that there have been periods of time in the comics, big periods of time, where if you're going to have a whole bunch of heroes getting together, and they have to pick that one person to be the leader to fall behind, it's Cap. Like, Captain America's the one that, if he's there, everybody's like, we need, you know, we need... Yep.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Nope.
All right, you disagree.
Nope.
Okay, so who's... Okay.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. Winter Soldier proved that and why he's not fit.
Okay. All right.
Okay, because
but
if he's that
course,
easily manipulated, then what the fuck happens to everybody else?
Ah, I see. Well, remember, if, you know, if the heroes do get together, I mean, yeah, you have somebody who leads them into battle. They're not all just going to simply fall behind. They do treat each other, you know, you do have a circle. So if Cap gets easily manipulated, there'll be somebody there to kind of back him up and go, okay, Cap, you were getting, you know, we kind of saw you were getting your, you know, someone's trying to pull your strings, but don't worry, I got your back. We'll figure this out. You
right,
know? And
right.
Plus,
so you have, like, let's
remember,
say you
I'm
have...
Finish your thought. Yeah.
Because
your thought.
If you have somebody like Dr. Strange that's in charge and you have, like, your left and right-hand man, I would absolutely vote for Cap to be, like, the right-hand man and have, you know, whomever else. Okay, so basically kind of like you have, you know, like a vice president. Sure, I would have Cap be the vice president, but ultimately I would have Doctor Strange in charge of things because he can legitimately step in and do something, snatch you out of your situation and be like, hey, Captain, okay, you're having a little mind melt thing going on. You understand what the fuck you're doing here. I'm going to put you in a little timeout or put you in a fucking gift world reality where it just loops and loops until you get your shit together.
Okay, but see, but
a literal
Strange
timeout.
Is not... Well, but Strange is not perfect. Strange is not perfect either. I mean, he can still be manipulated. He can still be hell. It's even worse because if somebody decides to mind fuck with him, they're going to be using mystic powers. And how do you defend against that? You know, then it's even worse.
Well, chances are that they already know. You know, Strange is notorious. He's a lot like Batman in the sense that he gets to know his enemy before he even steps into the battleground with them. You know, so if he understands that this is going on, either he's going to try and get some technology out, or he's going to be working remotely. But yeah, in the event that something like that were to happen, hey, shit will always hit the fan. Okay, so it's no different than a regular civilian, 20-piece chicken McNobody, and Doctor Strange. You know, shit hits the fan.
Okay, all right,
that's
but then
what doesn't
I got okay, but. All right. Well, as we're, but very quickly.
Xavier.
Put
Xavier on the other hand.
okay. Well, but here's the, okay. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Okay. Last question I'm going to give, because we're kind of getting, you know, we're starting to get
close
into
to the
last,
wire.
You know, we're getting close to the wire in our final little episode here, but, you know, here's the thing. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Iggy, while, Tyler and Trish watch. So here's a question for you, and you have to pick one or the other, okay? If it was down to you got to vote for who's going to be head of the superhuman forces, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have two choices, all right? Just two. Iron Man or Captain America? Who do you pick?
Doctor Strange and Professor Xavier.
Okay, no write-in candidates. Okay, no write-in candidates.
No.
You have to choose either one
or
the other.
You're trying to force your will onto me, okay? I know what you're trying to do, Eduardo, but you were literally just vouching for Captain America.
I'm not trying to force.
And clearly, the only fucking logical decision on that one is Captain America, but I'm not going to give it to you. Fuck you. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. But Iggy. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay. So you answered it without answering it,
mm-hmm.
but you do
mm-hmm.
bring up the point. You do bring up a point that really didn't get touched on as much in the comics when they had their own Civil War. As the films do, in the sense that, yeah, the logical choice is Cap, because, yeah, but I will say this, though. Your idea of Doctor Strange and or Xavier is an interesting
both.
One.
Both. They would work
okay, so
together
both,
because
yeah.
Xavier already shown that he can control mutants. He has his own fucking school for them. He's already guiding them. he's shown that he has the experience to do so. Dr. Strange is already a good leader, has no issue stepping in, zipping you into his world and going, are we going to have more fucking problems? Or are you going to behave?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Can I put
in
my
well,
okay, that's...
Yeah, putting them both together
okay.
would be great. Tyler, I'm
okay.
passing it off. I'm done.
I vote for Magneto because he got the helmet that prevents people from fucking with his mind.
Dude, fuck you.
Okay, yeah, but do remember, okay. Well, first of all, we are getting a little off track because we're bringing in characters who are not part of the MCU yet. We're hoping they're going to be part of the MCU, but not yet. And then not to mention that Magneto does have some shit in his past. I don't think we would want I don't think some people would want to listen to a mass murderer.
I
know.
Yeah.
The only
reason
I brought Magneto into this is because of the helmet that prevents him from being a 20-piece chicken McNobody that can get controlled by his mind.
That's just a fucking helmet. Fuck you.
Yeah, but who else has the fucking helmet?
Fuck you.
Okay. Hey. I'm ringing the bell. I'm telling you to get to your corners. Okay. All right. Come on. Round over. Go to the corner.
No.
Okay, hey,
Can I get
wow,
a
trick? Okay.
Trick, I want to hear it.
Yeah, no, okay, yeah, Can Trish, you? Yeah, you get to, okay, so, okay, first, okay, you get to pick twice. All right, first, who would you pick just out of the entire pool of heroes you could choose from to be, like, head of this, who do you pick? And then, if it was only between Cap and Iron Man, who would you pick? Okay, so, number one, if you had choice of anybody, who would you pick?
Shuri.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. Wow. I like the way you think. I like where you went.
Yeah.
A little young, but she's proven she's got the brain power and she's got enough sass to dress people
she's
down.
Smarter
okay,
than
that's hey. ow. Okay.
Smarter
wow. Okay. Damn.
Oh.
Well, yeah. You know what? Well. Okay, keep that in your pocket, Trish. Keep that in your pocket. Okay, so, all right. If it was down to Steve or Tony, who would you pick?
T'Challa.
Tyler, look at what the ladies are doing. Our ladies are being sneaky and bringing in the writing candidates. Oh jeez. But yeah, T'Challa.
It is my democratic right to write in who I want.
Yes.
Okay. All right. There you go. Okay. Hey. I like that. I really do.
I will sit in the back of the superhero bus and stay there.
But think about T'Challa. Okay. Think about it. He's King of Wakanda, but he so he knows how to run shit, and he knows how to handle everything, and he does it calmly. He would be perfect.
Definitely.
Shit, when dealing with Bucky, because Bucky, but not really Bucky, killed his dad. You know, he doesn't really step back and look at the big picture. He literally just wants to take down Bucky because of that.
He gets blinded by that. Okay, I will say this though. I will give him that. Tyler, you do have a point, but at the same time, a bit, like before it was too late, he did pull back, take a minute and go, okay, hold it. I'm a little too pissed off and I'm missing shit.
Well,
let me take a breath.
He did. Imagine if he didn't.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
And then
he's
fixing Bucky. He went back and he's fixing Bucky. Hello.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, you know,
that sounds like compensation, about that, my temper there.
Yeah.
My bad.
That's okay. Come on. Okay. Right now I'm giving you like a virtual hug. It's okay. I'm giving you like this little virtual hug. It's okay. Everybody loses their temper. It's okay. You're okay. You're okay, Iggy. You're okay. All right. Everybody, you know, we're geeks having a geeky debate. Things are going to get heated.
I like that.
Okay? As long as nobody tried to kill the other person, okay? As long as shit wasn't thrown, okay? We're cool. We all cool.
Like what
cool.
actually
okay?
happened,
That's...
but okay, cool.
Okay. All right. All right. But see, yeah, we're all cool. We're all cool. We're all cool. We're good. We're good. It's okay. We have a, you know, we have a ferocious debate. We talk geeky shit. That's the nature of the beast. Okay. As long as, you know, as long as we don't get too heated, it's fine. It's fine. As long as if this was an actual conversation happening, like in my office, you know, we're all mic'd. As long as I didn't take the Thor hammer that's in my office or like the Infinity Gauntlet and hurl it at you. We're fine. We're good. We're good. Nobody threw shit. Nobody threw shit. So we're fine. We're all good.
Did you just
say that? There you go. Yeah, basically. But it didn't happen. Anyway, but here's the thing. Something that is happening though, unfortunately, is we are reaching the end of things. I do want to say though, we are going to be back here next week. We are not, however, going to be having our Infinity War review yet.
No.
Truth be told, there's a part of me that would want to.
Do you know how hard it was
to
do this show without talking about spoilers? Every time you would
next week,
I'd be like, oh, shoot, that happened in Infinity War. I can't
talk
about that.
Fortunately, we're going to take a little break from Marvel stuff next week because you know what? Next Saturday is going to be Cinco de Mayo. So we're going to have a special Cinco de Mayo celebration. First of all, Trish, I do want you here because we're going to talk about Coco. Okay?
Yeah.
So I need my Disney girl here. We got to rewatch that. We got to make sure the tissues are there. And then plus, I think, because you know what? And Iggy, I blame Iggy for this one. We're going to have something for the kiddies for Cinco de Mayo, and we're going to have something for the adults, because not only are we going to talk Coco, we're going to be talking Robert Rodriguez, so Machete and Desperado. So, yeah, everybody, you know, so that's going to be next week. Hope to see everybody here, but in 2 weeks, back to Marvel, because we will be reviewing Infinity War. So, yeah, see everybody next week, and, hey, keep it real. Okay, and we're out.
Good shit. We're going to be doing our own version of Hero versus Zero with the ladies.
Yeah, I hope I sounded okay because I phoned it in. I used the host call-in number.
Oh no, it was fucking great.
I don't know.
It sounds
amazing. Okay, I don't know what happened when I hit the button, you know, to start, you know, to get the episode going. Usually there's a button on the you know, the screen that says direct connect, and it went nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It did not show
issues.
Up.
The reason that Blog Talk is having so much issues as of lately is because they're making that merge with Spreaker, so it's fucking a lot of things up with technical difficulties.
See.
So that's why we've been having the problems lately because you know, when Trish came in for Strictly Geekly and she was there, I'm like, wait a minute, she wasn't on. That doesn't make any fucking sense. You know, so I thought at first it was my mic and all of us sharing, and then I'm like, wait, the email came through and it's Spreaker and Block Talk trying to, you know, all that coding bullshit. So.
Yeah, I had issues using the Direct Connect. Iggy saw it firsthand. I clicked it and it just didn't want to work. So I ended up having to call in and host for, you know, I host for Strictly Geekly. I'm just not on the show. You know, I'm there. I run the switchboard. But she thought firsthand I wasn't able to do Direct Connect.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, you know, hopefully they fix it. Listen, I'm going to have to end things. Like sooner rather than later because Trish has to do the Disney podcast and I agreed to go with her, especially because she has to go out to, like, she has to do.
Yeah, I'm still on her.
Okay. Remind me tomorrow when we're doing Hero versus the Hero, I want to bring up the Civil War stuff and talk about this bullshit.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I want to hear what happens when you continue the conversation to Strictly Geekly.
Her bringing up T'Challa and all that stuff, like, that's going to prove to be interesting, especially with Chiley and her fucking knowledge as well. And we'll see.
Half that fucking conversation is going to be who's going to be better in an oil wrestling match.
Do we need to bring news stories, or are we just going to do superheroes?
We're just going to use the superhero, basically how we did the hero versus the hero on Keeping It Real. We're going to be doing that on the Strictly Geekly. Just these are, you know, putting them up together, see how they blew. But I want to start it off with Civil War and that because I think it'll transition nicely at that point.
Nice. Okay. All right. I am going to be talking.
Yes.
Yeah.
6 o'clock, right? Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Yeah, 6 o'clock our time, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I mean, what she knows.
Different...
Okay. Women communicate more effectively than men do. Okay.
Okay. I can see that. Anyway, so look, I'm gonna end the call.
You do that.
And then I'm gonna run. Okay, Trish, I'm gonna run into the bedroom to grab like my keys,
same
my
house.
Wallet.
You don't need to have this over the fucking phone.
Yeah.
End the goddamn call.
What you're gonna do?
All right. Fine. I'll see you downstairs in a couple of minutes.
Bye.
Bye.